Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We'll be looking at the first 13 verses today. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. This is God's Word. "He left there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. 'Where did this man get these things?' they said. 'What is this wisdom that has been given to him? And how are these miracles performed by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?' So they were offended by him. Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his household.' He was not able to do a miracle there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. He was going around the villages teaching. He summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the road except a staff. No bread, no traveling bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on an extra shirt. He said to them, 'Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place does not welcome you or listen to you, when you leave there, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them.' So they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What's it like when you go home? For some folks, home is a welcoming, comforting place. For other folks, home is a pretty uncomfortable place. It can even be a miserable place. But if you want to be sure that it's miserable, one way to do that for many people is to achieve more than the other folks in the family. Instead of everybody saying, "Wow, I am so proud of you," lots of people are like, "Who do you think you are? You think you're better than we are, don't you?" Jesus has had that pain as well. Jesus knows what it is to be rejected by the people who should have been most enthused. Notice that when he came to his hometown, they didn't say, "Oh, what he's saying is not so smart." They said, "Where did he get this wisdom?" They could tell that what he was saying was given to him, because his teaching was not like the scribes and Pharisees. It was with authority. When he was 12 years old, meeting with the top scholars in the nation, they were amazed because he was asking questions they couldn't answer. And you see that throughout his ministry. When his adversaries would come and try and trip him up, he not only had great answers for them, but he would turn around and ask them questions that they It was like, well, if we say this, then we're going to be in trouble with these people. If we say this, we're going to be in trouble with those people. I think we better say we don't know. Jesus said things that displayed amazing wisdom, but it wasn't appreciated by the locals. They resented it. They were offended by him. And again, notice they said, how are these miracles performed by his hands? How are these miracles performed? They didn't say, well, we haven't seen any miracles. No, they had seen miracles. Jesus had healed people there in the town. And they saw, this is a miracle. And yet, instead of saying, clearly, this is of God, we need to learn from him. We need to follow him. We need to trust in him. Nope, they were offended. Some of you in this room are likely to be the most successful person in your family. And you better know ahead of time that not everybody in your family is going to be pleased. Okay? That instead of saying, wow, you sound like an educated person, they'll say, what are you talking like that for? They're going to feel like even if you've worked 40 to 60 hours a week in order to make a paycheck, and they haven't been working at all, even though they're capable of working if they wanted to, that you owe them money, though they didn't support you. You're going to encounter that, some of you, and you need to be prepared for it. There are people who will do everything they can to drag their family down so that they don't have to feel as badly about themselves. I'm warning you right now. And Jesus experienced that. It's even worse because it applies to us. Verse 3. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? Why isn't Mary telling the story? Why isn't she saying, you all need to know, I was a virgin when I gave birth to him. He's God's son. But she apparently was not broadcasting that because, I don't know, maybe she didn't want people to think she was crazy or a liar. That's a hard story to believe. How are you going to prove it? I mean, he's doing miracles, but I don't know what that means. Jesus' siblings, we know from reading other scriptures, did not come to faith in him until later. They doubted that he was the Messiah. They'd heard it. Imagine growing, just for a moment, imagine growing up in the same family with somebody who never did anything wrong. Okay? How do you think that would set with you? Mom thinks he's perfect. Well, he is. So his family did not embrace him. They resented him. They were offended. And let me tell you something, folks. Here's why we need to learn from that. Because there's a world out there judging Jesus by how we respond to him. If you're a Christian, you are now part of his family. You are his brothers and sisters. And if we do not respond to him with absolute reverence and awe, delighting to do his will, the world's going to look at us and say, yeah, see, they don't even believe it. So, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his household. Jesus experienced rejection in his hometown. He experienced the unbelief of his siblings and his neighbors. And it was so severe that because of their lack of faith, he could not do a lot of miracles there. I love this phrase. Except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. I mean, it's like, oh, well, you know, just a few healings. Healings? Are you kidding? That's huge! Well, you know, it was not a good day for Jesus. For anybody else, that would be a fabulous day. But for Jesus, only healing a few sick people. Sorry, I couldn't do more. I love this. Now, he went on from there, amazed at their unbelief. Amazed at their unbelief. There aren't a lot of times in the Gospels that it says Jesus was amazed, but this is one of them. Jesus was amazed. He's doing miracles. He's teaching them. They recognize it as wisdom. They're astonished by it. They recognize that he did miracles, plural, and they still don't believe. Why? Why? Because some people, Jesus said, will not believe even if someone rises from the dead. If you are determined not to know the truth, you can walk around in this world going la, 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 and blind yourself to what is obvious. Anybody who tries to cling to atheism is willfully ignorant. It is not that the evidence is not all around them, and it's not that they don't know better in their hearts. It's a determined effort born of an unregenerate heart that is hostile toward God. And the same is true of Jesus. If you look at the prophecies he fulfilled, if you look at the evidence for the resurrection, it is absolutely overwhelming. Nobody who carefully examines this comes away saying, I don't know, could go either way. The only way that you reject him is if you choose to reject him.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. He was amazed at their unbelief. And he was going around the villages teaching. Then he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Jesus told his disciples, when you encounter these demons, I'm authorizing you to bind them and cast them out. I'm giving you authority over those forces. You know what that means? Boom. Suddenly, they can do what they could not do before. Because they've been sent out by Jesus with that authority. It's like being given a credit card. It's like, oh, this isn't my money. No, it's not your money, but I'm entrusting you with this, and you can use it. But it has your name on it. Yes, you can act in my name. I am authorizing you to act in my name. So if I say, come out of him, you unclean spirit, the spirit has to obey? Yes, because the spirit isn't obeying you. The spirit at that point is obeying me. Cool. Wow. That's really awesome. He says, I tell you something else. I'm giving you the power to heal also. What? I'm authorizing you in my name to bring healing to people. Wow. And you are to command them to repent. To repent. What does it mean to repent? To repent means I realize I'm going the wrong way and I do something about it. I change direction. That's why we're told in Scripture, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. If you really repent, your behavior changes. Well, I know I shouldn't. Yeah, man, look at me now. I shouldn't be doing this. Ooh, I'm going to regret this later. That's not repentance. That's the path to destruction. So, Jesus sent them out. He gave them authority over unclean spirits, instructed them to take nothing for the road except a staff. No bread, no traveling bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on an extra shirt. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm taking a suitcase. Okay? When I go to Chicago, I'm just going to be in Chicago 5 days. Okay? When I go to Chicago, I take deodorant, take my razor, and I take more than one change of clothes. And people who have to be around me in Chicago are happy. Okay? But Jesus says, no. I want you to go out on the road, traveling in such a way that you have to depend on me. Now please understand that. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, they were to pray, give us this day our daily bread. That's not because they didn't know how to fish. It's not because they didn't have other ways of getting bread. It's because all of us, all the time, whether we recognize it or not, are entirely dependent on God. You and I can't get our next breath apart from God. The universe is held together by the word of his power. And so the most ardent atheist is completely dependent on God. The most derelict sinner is totally dependent on God. When God says time's up, time's up. And so Jesus wants his disciples to do supernatural things. And in order to help prepare them to do the supernatural, he says, I want you to depend on me in the natural. I want you to put yourself in a position out of obedience that demonstrates you trust me and you'll do what I say. When you are walking in obedience, depending on him, then you're in a good position to say to that demon, come out. To say to that sick person, be healed. But if you're saying, God, I want to do miracles, but I don't want to have to need any in my own life, okay? Don't count on it. Jesus didn't tell them this as a game. He told them this as preparation. He said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. And if any place doesn't welcome you or listen to you, when you leave there, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Jesus is saying the time is short and you're to get out there and spread the word. And some people are going to accept the message and some people are not going to accept the message. And you need to move on and focus on the people who accept the message. But sometimes people who reject the message get saved later on, right? Yeah, the Apostle Paul's classic example. But please understand, the church wasn't arranging special visits to go see the Apostle Paul back when he was Saul of Tarsus and talk him into believing. The way he came to faith was that God supernaturally intervened when he was on one of his mission trips trying to round up believers for slaughter. The focus of our missions and evangelism needs to be on folks who are responding. That's the pattern Jesus sets out here, and it's the pattern of the book of Acts, and it's what we see in the epistles. And so these guys are on a mission and they're moving from place to place to place to place. And some people accept them and some people reject them. But if they go into a home in a town and that home rejects them, too bad for the town. Let me tell you something. Some of you are the ones who are going to be the outpost for your town. And how you respond to the gospel is going to impact a lot more lives than just yours. And you need to know that. Verse 12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. Everybody say that with me. So they went out and preached that people should repent. Now, why would I want you to really get that? Because if you listen to, 100 sermons, or maybe 500, you know what you're not going to hear in most of those places? That people should repent. The whole word repent has become kind of a, let's take that out of our vocabulary, shall we? It has a negative connotation. It's like telling people they have to change. Well, yeah. You know why? Because we need to change. Seven churches in the book of Revelation get a letter from Jesus. Five of them are told, repent. 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 You cannot be true to Jesus. You cannot be true to the scriptures without repentance and without proclaiming a message of repentance. But please understand this. The message of repentance is a message of hope. When God tells me I need to repent, He is saying it is possible for you to change. You do not have to keep doing the same stupid stuff. Has anybody here ever fallen downstairs? Anybody here? Let me see. Yeah, lots of you have fallen downstairs. Me too, I have. It's painful, isn't it? It's embarrassing. You feel like such a klutz. And you hurt like even hours or days later. Right? Imagine if having fallen downstairs, somebody came along and said, I hate to tell you this, but I've been observing you and saw that nasty fall you took. You need to just recognize that you are a stair faller. Okay? I mean, don't fight it. Don't resist it. It's who you are. Just embrace it. Just accept it. Nothing to be ashamed of. Lots of other people. And I think it's time we remove the stigma of falling downstairs. That's absolutely crazy. But there are people who are saying that kind of logic in our culture. Saying if you've messed up, just embrace it. That's who you are. That's the way you are. Just be that way. No. I have to go up and down stairs all the time at my house. But just let me tell you something. I am so thankful that having fallen downstairs and fallen upstairs, I don't have to consider myself a stair faller. I can consider myself a child of God. And as I trust in Him, I'm able to climb stairs without falling. I'm able to go upstairs without falling. I'm able to go downstairs without falling. Hallelujah. Now, when we tell people to repent, what we are saying is God is calling you to change and He will give you the power to do it. And that's good news. And it is a pity that the churches of America are not being more faithful in proclaiming that message in-house and then out there. If we're not modeling repentance in our lives, we've got no business telling the world that they need to repent. So the disciples went out and they drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. How could they do that? Because Jesus told them to. You can do what He tells you to do. Don't forget that. You can do what He tells you to do.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. It's pastorwood.org.